Meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mark?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Eric?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Present.
Randy?
Here.
We have a full assembly tonight, so it's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have no approval of previous meeting minutes, so we'll move to item four, and we'll entertain a motion either to amend or approve tonight's meeting agenda.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Stanton Gregor to, without any amendments, I don't see any hands coming up for amendments for approval of tonight's meeting. So all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll move forward with what we have in front of us. No public hearings listed. Excuse me, no bid awards. Is there anybody in the audience this evening with any views unrelated or related to today's agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move to item eight. Is there any visitors in the audience with views unrelated to items on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. Board, commission, and committee reports. We have a report from local emergency planning committee member, Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if I'm a member of the committee or just the liaison to the committee. It's kind of up in the air. But I was at a meeting like a week ago on Tuesday, and we sat down at the fire hall with all the people that are involved in emergency planning in Petersburg. And what we did is we went over all the critical infrastructure in Petersburg, highways, buildings, bridges, roads, anything that in the unforeseen emergency that might happen, to whether a tsunami, earthquake, flooding, that would be critical to keeping the community members safe and places for people to cook meals, stay warm, and just whatever would need to happen here in the community if there was a natural disaster that happened. So we have a grant, or the city has a grant from an outfit in Anchorage that came down here to interview everybody who was involved in the process, and they kind of went through the list of all the buildings and schools and canneries and hotels and, like I said, the roads and stuff, and they just kind of updated things, and they're processing that plan, and I imagine eventually we'll see it here at the assembly.
Okay. Any questions of Member Mucci? I've got one for Jeff. Do you have a discussion about the ammonia in the
cold
storages, or is that?
They did. They mentioned it, that it is a, you know, a concern, and it'll be listed in their final plan about, you know, the issues in town that could cause a bigger problem in the event of a big situation in town.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure what the plants have, but I'm sure they must have some kind of plan in place, I would think. So, yeah.
I hope so.
Okay, well, thank you.
Cool.
Okay, that brings us to consent agenda. There's one item on the consent agenda this evening, and it is for the approval of the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department's 2018 State of Alaska gaming permit. I would entertain a motion to approve that one item on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
A motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Castro. So we'll do a roll call vote on that, please, Debbie.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yep.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department has their 2018 gaming permit. It's now time for the mayor's report. Let's see if I can get it up here. Petersburg Borough is seeking letters of interest from qualified borough residents to serve our community by filling two vacant seats on our public safety board. Borough residents appointed to the following seats will serve until the October 2018 municipal election. Letters of interest may be submitted to the borough clerk via mail to Post Office Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska, or dthompson@petersburgak.gov, or by delivering them to the office here at 12 South Nordic Drive. We'll give a little report here, a little update on the SEPA meeting that was in town last week, the 13th and 14th. It was pretty interesting. The SEPA is the organization that manages our two hydro plants, one in Taiyi and one at Taiyi Lake and one at Swan Lake down by Ketchikan. They are in pretty good financial shape, really good financial shape. They had a clean audit. Power sales are on track for this year. They're a little bit below, but their projected budget, but they figure they'll catch up on that. The lake was up. The Swan Lake was, with the new dam raise of 15 feet last year, was up 6 feet above where it's ever been in September to November. And I can't remember the kilowatt hours that that gave us, but it was an offset, saved spending $1 million in diesel. So it's a pretty big thing.
Nice.
There is a few things they're addressing that they're not used to doing due to the higher lake levels. There's a few slides, you know, trees coming down into the lake, but they've got two booms in place, one permanent, and then there's a secondary one. So they're hoping to get some kind of a winch system farther up in the head of the lake so they could drag this debris up out of the water so they don't have to deal with it, because you have to lift it up and put it over the dam or it goes through the spillway. So there's some issues there. So that was pretty neat to see. Another thing we discussed at the last meeting was they're going to do a tunnel assessment next summer of the lake tap at Taiyi. And they're going to go in 8,000 feet with a submersible. And I think if that actually Ed Schoenfeld, the engineer, was saying that we might make the news because this will be the farthest they've ever done something like that. They've done one in Australia that's almost 8,000 feet. Hmm. But it's tethered, and it goes in and, you know, down a couple elevations and over. So they hope it doesn't get snagged up down there, because if it gets stuck in the tunnel, then they have to drain it. And because they don't want to go through the turbine, of course. But there'll be sonar images that'll analyze the condition of the rock. I guess they had some issues when they first built the dam. So that was pretty interesting. So I'll quit blabbing about that. And the Assembly Hospital Board work session. The Hospital Board has requested a work session with the Assembly in January. Our January Assembly meetings are scheduled for the 2nd at noon and the 16th at 6 p.m. Is there a late afternoon or evening in January when the Assembly can be available for a work session with the Hospital Board? Is there any ideas? Member Mucci.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Later on in the agenda, we'll be talking about, hopefully, a marine passenger fee work session. And I think, I don't know if there's been any discussion on a date, but I was kind of hoping we could do that one on the 8th. And I'm not sure what people's schedules are in January. But just looking at the calendar for January, we're meeting on the 16th, and the week of the, you know, it's up to everybody else, but, you know, we could look at Thursday, January 11th, or possibly Monday, January 22nd.
Anybody else?
I'm just throwing some dates out.
Have they thrown out any ideas, Debbie, as the hospital board?
They have not, other than January.
January, so that's a pretty broad time frame, so.
So the beginning of January would be fine with me. What'd you say, Jeff, the 11th?
The 11th? That's like a Thursday.
Yeah, I could do something like the 11th just to put it out there.
No one wants to do it on the 1st?
I would have
it. Sure. The 11th, I'm unavailable, but that's just me.
This is... are you looking at your schedule, Steve?
Sorry. Are you busy every Thursday?
Does mid-afternoon, late afternoon?
Late afternoon is better.
Late afternoon, Monday and Thursdays, Wednesdays. Like, I can generally flexibility besides
4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Does that? Would you be available on the? Everybody be available on the 12th? Of course, that's a Friday, but doesn't matter to me what day of the week it is.
I generally got flexibility as long as it's not Thursdays.
Friday, are you available on Fridays?
I can.
And you're the liaison to the harbor or the hospital board, right?
Correct.
Right, so it might be good to have you. There. It'd be nice to have you here.
12th is fine by me.
We could ask the member of the hospital board that's in attendance.
I don't know if he's attended any meetings yet, so.
Well, he might have a preference.
Okay, we've kind of come up with an idea. It sounds like, how about the 12th of January at 4 p.m. Let me look at this.
Hey, Mark, would it be too soon if we had a meeting like on the 2nd of January, an assembly meeting, to maybe have Jay come back with a good time for would work for everybody on that meeting, and then we could set that date for later on that week or the next week? How do you want to do that, Jay? Do we want to just grab a number
for
now?
A work session?
Yeah.
I imagine Clerk Thompson, would it be possible to email the hospital board and...
Yes. Yes. If you guys are good with the January 12th at 4, tomorrow I will send an email and then send you all an email and let you know yes or no.
So what's the date we're looking at then? Or
the 12th. Just to make sure it works for everybody. Yeah.
All right. They're the ones that requested, so that's to come up with the date. So, okay. Item 4 of the mayor's report, proclamation of a half-day Christmas Eve holiday on December 22nd, 2017. This has been a tradition for a long time. But I proclaim a half-day holiday for borough employees on Friday, December 22nd, 2017. Thank you for serving our community and have a wonderful holiday. And I don't see anything else under my notes, so now it's time for the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Kind of in that note, many borough facilities will be closed or have changed hours during the holidays. Please call ahead if you are unsure. Library held a painting class with Janine Gibbons. A display of the paintings can be seen downtown in the community. Lego Crazy, an after-school volunteer-led program, is now running again every Friday at the library. The annual Rotary Party at the Elderly Housing Social Hall was on December 17th. I want to thank everyone who was involved in that. The residents up there really do appreciate that. Carl and Chandra are continuing to work with Sitka Electric to get final answers on some of the questions prior to bringing a contract to the assembly for your approval. So we're hoping to have that in the first meeting in January. American Red Cross has spent the last year updating their system and protocols in related to aquatics. Chandra may have to partner with Wrangell to fly in a trainer to make sure that all of our lifeguard instructors are updated with the new procedures in time. They kind of sprung this on everybody. So both us and Wrangell are kind of struggling at the moment to make sure we've got time to get the lifeguard instructors chained so that they can in turn train our lifeguards. Chris Cotta is working on the Alaska DEC paperwork and preparations for a couple of different wastewater projects. This includes the Scow Bay Number 1 pump station upgrades and the Casino Street sewer main. We used the used oil reserves we've been using for heat at the Baylor facility are tracking really well this winter. Basically, the department is getting the heat they need and have opened up enough storage capacity to handle any winter oil changes from the fishing fleet. Harbor Department has been great to work with on this mutually beneficial arrangement. So thanks to the Baylor as well as Harbor Department for making this work. Our motor pool fiscal year 19 replacement evaluations have started. Vehicles from the Harbor, Parks and Rec, Public Works, Sanitation, and the hospital van are all on the evaluation list. Does not necessarily mean they'll all be replaced, but they're in the list to be evaluated and looked at. It reported we had a snow wing problem on the grader. We got it resolved through a visit from NC Machinery Technician, and our staff also assisted in finding the problem. Turned out to be a kinked and separated wire that was deep in one of the many wiring harnesses. As the problem was a latent factory defect, Carl has requested relief for the repair costs from NC Machinery and Caterpillar. The grader is now back to 100%. The PFI switch project is about two-thirds complete. On Friday, December 8th, the department line crew assisted EPC, the electrical contractor, during a planned outage to change the PFI feed from old to new. The work was hampered by the weather, but the crews worked pretty well together and managed to get the power back on in about 7.5 hours. At this point, the electrical portion of the project is complete. The dirt work contractor will now be able to finish up that work on the site, which includes patching the street with concrete, forming and re-pouring the sidewalk and curb and gutter sections, forming and pouring the new relocated retaining wall, and pouring the slabs at the site. We had set the substantial completion date set at April 15th, so we'll see most of that work later in the spring. The power and light remodel project continues to progress. Contractor poured the retaining walls at the parking area and the subgrade foundation wall in the front of the building during the week of November 27th through December 1st. As of December 11th, plumbers from Ketchikan Mechanical are on site to rough in the plumbing, and the architect, Linda Millard from Ketchikan, was on site Friday, December 15th for a walkthrough and progress meeting. Reinforced contracting is almost complete with the 16 building, the siding and roofing project for the power and light. They received and installed the long lead time exhaust penetration flashings. We're still trying to track down a leak in the roof, and the contractor will be working on locating and fixing the leak dependent on a rental of a boom lift so that his workers can address the issue safely. We've chosen in Power and Light an independent consultant that will be working with us for the FERC Part 12D Dam Safety Report on Crystal Lake Dam. We're just waiting for a contract from the consultant. This is a project where we have to do ever so often, and then we're only allowed to use the same consultant two times in a row. So this will be the second time this consultant has done it. It actually helps in the sense that they've already seen it and don't have to redo everything, but then we'll be faced with the next time around, it'll have to be somebody new and unique. That's part of FERC's requirements. Startup for the 350 generator set has been postponed from the week of December 11th to the week of January 8th. We had a scheduling problem with the factory's engineer that needed to be here for that. So they're going to be here then. Hopefully we'll get that all done. And on the power and light superintendent search, we had narrowed it down to our two internal candidates and three external candidates. Unfortunately, one of the external has now pulled their application, so we're down to two. They all have received questionnaires, which is basically a list of questions that the group put together. We want written responses to those. Once we receive those back, and they're due back by Friday, the screening group will get back together, review the answers to the questions, and then decide on, of that group, who is kind of who we should interview. And that would be a screening interview, probably either on telephone or using Skype. And from that, we would hope to have a finalist list that would actually be brought here. Our problem is we're getting very low on candidates, and I have a feeling we're probably going to be in a position where we're going to consider re-advertising. We've only spent about half of the advertising money that the assembly authorized. Did that on purpose, just in case. So we may re-advertise, change the ad up a little bit, and see if we can generate some more. But we'll see. I mean, a lot depends on how the questions go and how those screening interviews go. So,
okay. Thank you, Steve. Any questions of the manager? Member Mucci?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. So, Steve, I've had several phone calls and questions about the new police department truck. And then somebody told me that was used to pull the communications van around. So funding for that, is that a city funding project or was that a grant?
It's city funding. It's part of our motor pool fund.
Okay.
Every year we provide to the assembly a list of motor pool vehicles that are up for replacement. So that money's set aside ahead of time so that it's already there. We had two Chargers and an Expedition that we were retiring out of the police department group. Those are the two new Explorers, and the Expedition is the last one that will be basically taken offline and replaced, and the truck replaces that.
Okay.
So instead of buying an Expedition, the truck replaces that Expedition.
And so just kind of a follow-up question, are the Expeditions capable of towing the communication van around?
Or I would highly suggest, if it'd be okay with Carl and Kelly weighing into this question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carl, you have some input here?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, the truck that was purchased is a patrol vehicle. It's not, its sole purpose is not to pull the EOC van.
Okay.
There was a truck purchased with Homeland Security funds years ago that still exists in the fire department, and that truck was purchased to tow the EOC trailer when needed. It also serves as a search and rescue vehicle right now. So the truck that was purchased is a normal replacement And instead of buying an SUV, we bought a crew cab pickup this time.
Okay. Yep. I do have another question.
Member Mucci?
So regarding the power and light superintendent, so how many original applicants did we get? We're down to four.
Two internal, eight external.
Okay. So if we get to the position that we need to re-advertise for the spot, would we or you or the assembly be looking at changing the qualifications so that we get a larger cross-section of folks, or what do you think you
want? Yeah, I mean, I just thought, although this is a decision that would be made in some sense by the screening group to get back together. First thing I'd do would take, we currently in the ad, it had the salary in there, we'd take the salary off. It's not, I don't have authority to exceed the salary that the assembly set, but sometimes that focus, people focus on that when they say, okay, that's not enough, and they don't even bother applying. So take the salary off of there, gives people maybe potentially we'd get more applications, and, you know, we can sell them on Petersburg maybe. Or I'd have enough information, I could come back to the assembly and beg and say, looks like we're going to have to pay more. Problem is, I don't know if that's what's generating the lack of eight external applications for this job isn't very good. So, you know, we're going to relook at the ad. Did I put anything in the ad that is, you know, turning people off or not excited enough? We'll also look where we ran the ad. We ran it in the same places we already always have, but that doesn't mean that's right. You know, we'll take a look at that and say, are there better places to run it? You know, the wording in the ad itself, and then we'll try again. We did get some. One of the things I was very interested in was trying to reach out to the military, both the Navy and the Army, and probably other services as well, but have people that do these jobs with lots of experience. When, you know, when they set up a base in Afghanistan, where they're not using local power. So it's people that have done that. So senior NCO or, you know, lower-level officer might have experience literally running a military power plant. The problem is there doesn't seem to be any one place you can go to reach out to the military and say, hey, do you have anybody that's coming out that might be looking for work? We did get three new sites from a kind of a series of phone calls we made that some veterans have used looking for jobs. So we have not run the ad in those three locations. We didn't feel that was right until we kind of worked through this group because they came to us afterwards. So we'll run the ad in those three, if appropriate, and see if that generates some interest. If the group looks at the ad and the job description and says, you know, this isn't working, you're right, I have to come back to you. I can't change the job description without this group saying, okay, fine, let's change the qualifications. So we'll see, but it may be kind of a long, drawn-out process. We may come back to the assembly and ask to change things, change salaries, and we'll see what happens.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Mm-mm. You know, and I had questions from a few people in the public, too, why the new pickup, and I talked to Steve about it today, and he explained it to me, so just a replacement for the former patrol vehicle. Okay, that brings us to unfinished business. First item there is a topic, travel to Washington, D.C. to meet with the federal delegation. We talked about this in late October, early November, and then the lobbyists called in, I believe, the second meeting in November. So we have a new calendar that's supplied to us by Brad Gilman. He shared his thoughts about making an official trip to Washington, D.C. to visit with our federal delegation and agencies in an attached email. And there's travel dates, and then I also, and I think it's been circulated to the Assembly as well, a calendar that we got from Sherry Klein from Senator Sullivan's office of the, takes you through the whole year. So, and also in this section, there's a balance of the Assembly's travel and training budget is also attached, so for least discussion reasons, I'd entertain a motion to authorize a trip to Washington, D.C.
So move.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made by Member Wallhooter, seconded by Member Morrell. Discussion. And we have dates here. Member Walter.
Just to start off this conversation, I think I've done enough lobbying in my life, and I was involved in limited entry for Dungeness. I was involved in the tiered system with the limit in the Dungeness fisheries. And you get way more bang for your buck than you do in a palm or on a Skype when you show up in person. Two of us showed up in Juneau, and there was about, they showed us this palm with about 80 different opinions on it on a page of people that were opposed to it. But because two of us were standing there face to face telling them the reasons why we should go this way, I got a pen from Governor Knowles, and so did Bill Floor, and a document that said he signed the bill. So I think it's critical that we send at least one person back there to at least voice our concerns and our opinions here in Petersburg.
I agree with everything that Kurt said. I think
please get recognized. That makes it easier.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine. Okay. Go ahead.
yeah, I agree with everything that Kurt has said. I think that there's a lot of value in face-to-face interaction.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I mean, Brett Gilman seemed pretty intent on it and figured they would actually have some value if you were able to make it. I think that one of the concerns would be just if you were able to speak with, you know, adjust the timing so that you were able to meet with whomever we were trying to speak for the most bang for the buck.
Right, and then later in the on the agenda this evening, we're going to talk about our priority list that if we go back, what we'd be discussing, and I think that's important for the Assembly to address that, so whoever does go back has, you know, marching orders from the Assembly on topics that we feel are important. And as far as the budget part of this goes, I know if three went for instance, it would probably tap out the Assembly travel, but there's other places to get money for the travel for non-Assembly members, even if you had to you know, do a supplemental budget or something, because I think it's important. There's some pretty important topics to talk about, the Coast Guard and dredging and for Scow Bay, Transboundary River, Secure Rural Schools, Central Air Service, and there's a whole list of them. Brandy, anybody else have a comment?
I think Nancy had something to say.
Member Greger, Stanton Greger?
Go ahead.
Oh, member.
You were before me. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Nancy.
If it's my understanding from this paperwork that the first week we can meet with, that they're available to meet with, is the week of January 29th, which in January, that's the last week in the month, and somewhere I read that they expect to have made the decision about the Coast Guard within the next month. So that'll be made before the very first session we could have with them. And I understand from many of us that the Coast Guard one is the most important. So I just wonder if that would be.
It is important, and I haven't heard that. The only information that I've received and that I think has been circulated to the Assembly was from the lobbyist, Brad Gilman, and he was saying that they're talking about it currently, where they're going to end. And you did mention that one discussion he had about where the other four FRCs were going to be placed, and Petersburg wasn't on the list. So that being said, even if that was the case, I think the deal hasn't been done officially, to my knowledge, but we need to still talk to the Coast Guard about how they plan to replace them. You know, I think we need to I don't want to call it force the issue, but keep bringing that issue up. Because Senator Sullivan, when he was in town last fall, I guess he was here for the chamber dinner, he got a tour around town of the Coast Guard facilities and the base, and he saw how important it, you know, they were to, it appeared like they were to Petersburg, and he's on the Coast Guard Appropriations Committee. So, and he told me on that tour that he would do whatever he could to keep the same level of Coast Guard presence in Petersburg, whether it be an FRC. His idea was, you know, replace one for one, but the Coast Guard, I don't think, has that same plan in mind. So that's just my thought. Member Stan Greger?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My only two cents on this,
I would simply put echo what Member Morrall and Member Wohlhuter said. Face-to-face is better. The only addition I would make to that is I would think it would be important for you as mayor, another assembly member, and the manager to go with. I know it's more money, but I think it's that important. As an investment of our time, if any of our interests can be furthered with three people being there, it's easily paid for itself. So I would advocate for having another member go with you and the manager as well.
Okay, thank you. Member Merle?
I have just a question. Would the manager, wouldn't be coming out of our budget, right? Managers travel for that?
No? We have that conversation today, and when they did the budget, seeing all funds are tight. And Steve, you want to just, I could speak for you what you said today.
Sure, if I could. The admin travel budget is pretty much all allocated. We budget that pretty tight. So the D.C. trip was not included in that, so there's no money currently there. The Assembly has about 5,800 unallocated travel dollars, assuming the numbers add up for the rest of the meetings that are scheduled. So, you know, roughly if you want three people to go, you're talking somewhere between $10,000 and $11,000. $5,800 is there, so, you know, $5,200, give or take. We'd need to pull from somewhere else. Jody's not here, but, you know, we can move money. The Assembly can vote to move money around to do that. There's not a travel budget currently that has it in it, though.
Is that using miles and every other option that we could reduce costs, or is that just the
using miles will help on some of it. The biggest, let's just sound crazy, the biggest expense there is the hotel. It's mm-hmm. insanely expensive in D.C., and the lobbyist was very specific about want you to stay here or here or here because parts of D.C. evidently are not necessarily safe. So the hotels that are close in that allow the ease of moving back and forth are all fairly pricey. So.
Member Mucci?
Well, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you I'm voting against it. I think we're going about this all wrong. I think we should, number one, try and get together. I don't know. You know, I'm a big fan of work sessions. I know there's only so many days of the week, but it would be interesting to sit down and sort out what we want to talk about when we're going to go back to Washington, D.C. And the position that we're going to take when we're back there, so we're all talking, whoever goes back, is all talking with the same voice. If we're going to go back there and spend $10,000, $11,000, and when the budget process comes up, say, well, it took us $10,000 or $12,000 to go back to Washington, D.C., and we're going to have to cut somebody else's budget because we went back to Washington, D.C., I'm not in favor of any of that stuff. I'd like to see, you know, I see we're talking about marine mammals later and we have our priority list, this, that, and the other, but I'd like to see a pretty definite list of what we want to talk about, who we're going to see. I mean, at this point, I am not clear on who we would see to talk about the Coast Guard remaining in Petersburg. Do we talk to a Coast Guard person or do we talk to our congressional delegation that talks to the Coast Guard? I don't really understand how it works. And I'm certainly not going to vote in favor of going to Washington, D.C. just because we can, and just because our representative thinks it's a good idea. I mean, he sent us a note about why we would go back there, and a lot of the stuff he's told us that it's important for us to do, I kind of feel those are obligations that we're paying him to do. So I'm going to vote against it until we get a, like I said earlier, a clear list of priorities and where we're going to come up with the money that we spend out of the budget when we're looking for it in the spring.
Any other discussion? Member Castro?
Yeah. You know, I can echo Jeff's sentiments about, you know, diving headlong into something without quite knowing what we're going to get out of it. You know, $12,000, $6,000 over our existing budget right now seems like a bit. But if we were able to talk or find out some connections that we would be able to have so that we would be able to meet and efficiently use up that time, I do feel that we should go over there. I remember reading, though, in Brad Gilman's email, I think he noted about the importance of perhaps limiting the amount of ideas we bring up or questions that we bring. It sounded like it'd be good if we were to focus on one or two topics. Am I correct in that?
Last time we went, we were pretty busy for 2 days. We went and we met with Congressman Young, Senator Sullivan, and Senator Murkowski. Those were pretty small visits, but we visited the Corps of Engineers. And during that visit, on Brad Gilman's recommendation, is where we found out more about the 107 Corps dredging permit, which ended up getting the North Harbor dredged. So that in alone was worth it, in my opinion. And as far as not knowing what we're going to talk about, when we go back there, we have a list that's been given to us by our federal lobbyists, and that's what we hire him for. And I don't know that we'd know who he wanted us to go visit with until we told him what our priority list was, and that's why it's on the agenda for later today, so we can, you know, go over the list and what are our priorities, and then we'd probably tell him, and he sent us the list, so he knows what they are. I feel it's important to go back and get some face-to-face time. It's been 3 years. That's why I started this dialogue back in late October or early November, and then we decided to, we opted in not to go, so that's why I had to ask for the lobbyists to call in to the second meeting in November so he could, everybody on the assembly could listen to what he had to say. And now we're at this point. So I think it's an important trip. Member Walter?
Just one more thing I want to throw in there. You know, we were told a while back that SRS was going to start going away, you know, expeditiously. If we can somehow express to them how this is going to be a huge hit to our community, I mean, what's $12,000 when we're going to have to come up with $120,000 of our own money or, you know, through the taxpayers or come up with maybe as much as $400,000, you know, in the next 5 years. I mean, I think it's critical, you know, that we get somebody back there face-to-face so they actually see, you know, what it, how it's going to affect our community and not just through Skype and not just through a palm, because that does nothing. I can tell you that right now. Face-to-face is the only way to do this.
Member Stanton Greger?
It's more of a point of clarification, Mr. Mayor. With the dates lined out in there, when we're voting on this, do you want to pick something out of this right now, or is that something you intend to sort out later on?
Well, I would think we would come up with a date at this point as far as conflicting with meetings. We have a meeting on the 2nd and the 16th of January, February 5th, February 20th. We have borough meetings. I will be not available from the middle of March. The middle of the March 12th meeting would be pushing it. So in my opinion, it would be either January 29th or February 26th. And I think January 29th would be the preferred one. It gives us two meetings this evening and two other meetings to discuss our priority list. First, we need to come up with something to give the lobbyists soon. The date would be important. And then a couple of key issues, because it takes him a month, if not 5 or 6 weeks, to set these, schedule all these. So that's my proposal.
No problem. A follow-up for Clerk Thompson, please. For the sake of argument, let's say January 29th is something that's approved. In terms of logistics, does that give you enough lead time to get them set for travel a month out?
May I answer that question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Sorry. I believe Brad Gilman, you know, really wanted 6 weeks lead time. I think what he said to us was, so... yes, we can get the reservations and stuff done by then. A lot depends on who goes.
Sure.
And how many people are going, and what Brad, when he's spoken to, what the issues are, because some agencies are harder to get into than others. So my recommendation to the assembly would be a bit flexible on those dates, because once you run it by Brad and he knows your issues, he may very well come back and say, you know what? That agency, let's say it's the Coast Guard, they're hard to get in to see. So that's going to take me a little bit more time. So maybe that takes him an extra week to get appointments set up. So if the assembly could be suitably vague on the dates, that would be a little bit helpful.
Meaning, if I'm hearing you right, something like late January, early February?
There you go. Then we can talk to the lobbyist and find out, you know, hey, what does he say? I mean, he's not on the call today. That's my recommendation. The second thing, back to Member Castro's question about the number of issues to bring up. I don't want to underemphasize that. One of the things the lobbyist does is puts together a position report on a large number of issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's mailed ahead of time to the delegation, and they're said, here's where Petersburg's coming from. So that can be, doesn't have to be two or three items. That can be very expansive, generally, you know, not more than 10. What you talk about, though, becomes where the limitation is. When you show up there, you know, you might have 5 or 10 minutes. So, you know, that's where he said the priority becomes really important. Yeah, they've got the position paper. Yeah, they know what Petersburg thinks about all of these issues. But when you get there, let's talk about these two or three things. And clearly that's different with the delegation versus an agency.
Sure.
But so back, you know, is, yeah, you can limit it. You need to limit it to priorities that you're actually going to speak to. But you can cover more than that. The lobbyists will make great recommendations on that. They'll say, you don't really need to talk about this. Hey, put it in the position paper. It's not a huge issue. This is the one you really want to push on. So there'll be some pushback from the lobbyist when he gets that list from the assembly, and he'll say, hey, these are the two or three issues you really, you know, want to talk about. You have the best chance of getting something done. So anyway, and that's, now granted, I think Jeff's been a lot more often than I have. I've been once, so you're hearing from somebody that, you know, I've been once and talked to the lobbyist a lot, so I don't want to claim to be an expert on these trips. So.
Then I've only made one trip to Washington, D.C., but many trips to Anchorage and Juneau, so yeah. A little bit different level. Any other member of Walter?
Would it be inappropriate to say let's shoot for the 29th of January?
Like we were,
and then we'll just see where it goes from there.
With appropriate flexibility.
Do we need some direction in that way? But with the flexibility, with the, you know, room for flexibility. But I think sooner the better.
That and the number of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think Member Castro's thoughts were accurate, and I believe it kind of mirrors what the lobbyist said. Don't bring everybody, because then it gets too confusing. But he did say the mayor, the manager, and one other assembly member. Who else would be interested, or do we need to address that? Just come up with a number, I guess, and at this time, or Member Mucci?
Well, I'm still going to vote against it, but if we want to send some folks back there, we better sort out how many people we want to send out, and we should sort out right now who can go and who wants to go. I don't want to go. I'll tell you that right now. I have no intention of going. It's just mayhem back there. It's chaos back there without the earmarks that are going on. I have no intention of going back there. But if somebody else has time to go back there and wants to go back there and see all the cool things back there, I'd like to hear who wants to go.
Member Stanton Greger?
I'm fine if we want to decide who that's going to be tonight, but I also don't think it needs to be. I think we... And again, if somebody was really gung-ho and loved to go with you, please speak up. Otherwise, I think it would probably be sufficient to say the manager, mayor, and we've got several weeks to decide who that might work on their schedule as well. My two cents.
And after we initially contact the lobbyist back, if that's how the vote goes for the 29th, and if that date doesn't work like the manager suggested, maybe it will have to be the 26th of February. But, you know, we've already... been kicking this can down the road for a month and a half, and they've been back in Washington, D.C., deciding where they're going to put the Coast Guard vessel fleet and their air fleet. So I think, you know, we need to, if we're going to get back there in person, we should. So any other discussion? I think this is an action item, so I think I'll ask the clerk to call.
A quick point of clarification, sure. Mr. Mayor. So right now, are we, to be clear, we're voting on sending on whatever those dates, you, the manager, and another assembly member. That is correct? Is that what I'm hearing from you? That's what I'm voting on right now?
I believe that's what the discussion was. That wasn't in any form of a motion, but
Could we leave the amount of number of people going other than the mayor and the manager and the possibility of maybe one other person, you know? I mean, do we have to be specific that says three or we don't go?
I guess.
I think two should be sufficient because then you both are going to hear different things. You both are going to have different opinions. Three would just be a third wheel, I think, so, and would save us some money. Unless there's somebody who really wants to go.
I'm comfortable leaving it open. I just wanted to clarify what I was voting on.
I think we're just voting on a date. Okay. And then,
okay. You know, yes, sir, no on a date. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. So, look, maybe... We did have a motion, didn't we, on the floor? What was the motion, Debbie, or was the one officially stated?
To approve the trip.
Okay. So, and then then we've discussed the date, so I think we've hashed that out. So I think we would be voting on the dates and communicating with our lobbyists to see if these dates are still available. Member Castro?
I'm comfortable with voting on a date. Only thing I'm not comfortable with is going above our allocated budget, not knowing exactly how many people are going to go and how far above, and without Jody here being able to speak to where the money might come from. That would be my only concern.
Okay. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Nope.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
No.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, authorization to travel to Washington, D.C. either in January or February or whatever dates seem the most appropriate to our lobbyists. It passes with a 5-2 vote with Member Strand and Member Mucci opposed. So that brings us to Marine Passenger Fee Work Session. Member Mucci is requesting a work session, possibly for the evening of January 8th, 2018, to discuss the idea of implementing a marine passenger fee. The work session will be open for public comment on the subject and will be encouraged to attend. A draft ordinance will be reviewed as well. So I don't know if we need to make a motion for this. It is under old business, so... Member Mucci?
Yep, Mr. Mayor. last week, the Harbor Board got together and at their regular meeting. I don't know if we have minutes from the meeting or not, but they kicked it out back to us saying they thought it was a good idea. The idea here is to hopefully have a draft ordinance in place at that meeting so we can at least start discussing some of the crafting this marine passenger fee to Petersburg. Most of the information that we have is based on what Juneau has, and there are probably a few things that we would need to change in that to meet our needs. I've talked to Dave Berg over at Viking Travel, and the idea is to have this work session so it'd be one of the first places that the community and business owners around town would have an opportunity to comment on. And then once we had a draft ordinance in place about the fee and the structure of the fee, we would probably be, with the Harbor Master's help and Dave Berg's help, get a hold of the principals in the visitor industry and let them know that we're thinking about doing this and either inviting them to town or getting the ordinance to them for some comments on it, on how they feel it would affect them. If it would be good for them, if they didn't have a problem with it. But I certainly don't want to exclude the people in the visitor industry from being involved in this conversation. Once we decided at the work session that we came up with a draft ordinance that we could start working at the assembly level, we would probably have it on a future agenda item to chat about. And over three or so readings, we would probably be able to craft some type of ordinance that would work for Petersburg. So that was kind of my ideas.
Any other discussion on the meeting? Are people available on that evening? And I have a question for the clerk, I guess, would be the appropriate one to ask. Are we going to have a draft ordinance that will be reviewed by the attorney by then, or...
It will probably be at the attorney, I would think. I will definitely have the draft ordinance put together. Jody and I are talking about it, and we'll work on it. It may not actually have been fully vetted by the attorney at that time, but she will have it in her hands, if nothing else.
Okay. So, yeah, can't see myself being out of town on January 8th. One thing to consider, you know, Member Mucci were saying that to have the people from the industry in town, and if we, you know, that if they can make it to this meeting, that'd be great. But if not, we're going to have 6 weeks worth of three meetings, and the second one meeting being the public hearing. So that'd be a perfect time for them to attend and voice their opinions at the assembly level. So any, and this isn't, you know, a requirement for all assembly members to be there. It's just setting a date for the work session. Mm-hmm. So was that an evening, afternoon?
Or
is it still up in there?
Mr. Mayor, it's up to what everybody wants to do here. Late afternoons work best for me. I could certainly do it in the evening, early in the evening. I know Nancy doesn't like to. But it's up to whatever the assembly wants to do.
Well,
and Mr. Mayor, yeah. I think it's important that we have it at a time when the community can be there. If we do it at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, people are still working, and maybe an evening meeting with plenty of advance notice, maybe just a brief interview with the radio station and the newspaper telling them that we were going to have a first, more or less, work session on this draft ordinance. You know, setting it up so that people knew about it and who wanted to ask questions about it.
Right.
But I think it'd be important to involve as many members of the community as possible.
Right. No official action to be taken at the meeting, but just a work session, right? And then I agree, if evening times tend to let more people be able to come to the meetings and be involved. Member Strand?
I prefer, of course, earlier in the day. If I were a working person and got done at 5 and had to go home and cook dinner, I wouldn't want to come back. So I think that probably no later than 4.
Any other ideas? Member Castro?
Well, I mean, for those folks right there, that might give them an opportunity during the second meeting, during the, what is that, the second or the first meeting of February, that they'd be able to participate during the lunchtime meeting, right? We have the noon meeting there at the first meeting in February. So it would give everybody an opportunity to be able to have some input, at least, even if it wasn't at the work session.
Very true. I would, Member Walhooter?
Well, no, I didn't want to jump on you there, Mark, but I think seeing how Jeff is trying to organize this, maybe Jeff can go to the community and find out what a good time is, and then he can just advertise it. And I think what we're doing right now is just going to allow him to go ahead and have this meeting. So, I mean, so whatever works best, Jeff. Member of the industry and
I'm just trying to, you know, I want as many of you there as possible. That's what I want.
I'm unemployed.
I know. Well, some of us aren't.
Yeah.
And
whatever works.
I'm just trying to do what's best so we can get the most of us there, and I will do my best to encourage the public to be there. But I think it's important that all 7 of us are there, so that if there are any things that need to get changed or crafted, the concerns that you might have, that you're there to help make that happen. That's why I'm asking the 7 to kind of come up with the time, so that I'll do the best I can to get the word out.
Member Stanton Greger?
Well, in that case, speaking just for myself, I'm one of the odd ones that usually works in the evening, so it's kind of 6 of one, half a dozen of the other in terms of my only feedback would be just pick a time, and whoever can make it can, and hopefully get a good turnout. Maybe I'm thinking a bit simplistic, but 6 of one, half a dozen of the other.
You know, thinking about this discussion we're having of who can attend and who we want to attend, I think it'd be important to have the business owners attend, because they're going to, you know, it's about marine, whatever it's called here, the passenger fee. So I think an evening meeting would be better. Anytime after 6 when the stores are closed.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, I'll reach out to those folks and find out a good time for them.
Can we come to a consensus that we want to advertise it for? I don't want to be the one that picks the number. Everybody will get 6 o'clock work. We need to vote on it, so we're...
Mm-hmm. Should we just vote on the day and then just let Jeff tell us the hour? Come on, Jeff.
Let's do it like this. Let's vote for 6 o'clock in the evening on the 8th.
Sure.
Good. Make it specific.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Debbie, or clerk, will you please call the roll? Moving on.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, so we have a meeting Work session scheduled for January 8th at 6 p.m. to address the marine passenger fee. Okay. We are now under new business, and we have a letter of interest to serve on the hospital board, and the gentleman is in the room, James W. Roberts III, and I won't read the letter. I'm sure we all have, but he seems more than qualified, and I'm glad someone that has stepped up to put their name in. So I'd like to appoint James W. Roberts to the hospital board, and this will take a motion and a vote.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
So, yes, you know...
Let's get the motion on the floor.
Oh, I thought we said...
Motion's been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Moreau.
Okay. So it's on the floor, right?
Yeah. Huh?
It's on the floor, right?
Mm-hmm. It is now, yeah. There was a motion.
So I got this letter in our packet like everybody else, and I walk by his boat, him and his wife's boat, every day, and I don't see them very often. I don't really know who they are. And this letter sounds like it's all good. But I spent some time on the phone with him yesterday afternoon. I was just curious what his thoughts were about the hospital. I certainly don't want to appoint somebody to the hospital who wants to burn the place down and shut it down and shutter the place. I was just curious what his thoughts were. And I think Jim would probably do a real good job. And the whole process to me was a little odd that we didn't get any input from the hospital board. I'm not sure how it all works. But, I just wanted to take some time to talk to him, and I appreciate your time yesterday afternoon.
Debbie.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to point out that I actually did let the hospital know immediately when we received the letter of interest, asked if they wanted to make a recommendation to the assembly to appoint, or if they wanted me just to get it in the packet, and they said, put it in the packet.
It might be the first time in years they've had a full hospital board. Member Stanton Greger?
That's exactly what I was going to comment on, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Woods, thank you for putting your name in and being of service to the hospital. It's of great importance right now. Thank you.
All right. Clerk, call the roll.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, James, for being willing to put your name in and help the community. Okay. Alaska Municipal League, Alaska Conference of Mayors, Winter Legislative Conference. And this is, I guess, here. So the manager and the clerk can decide who wants to go. I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen this done in this fashion, so
I can explain if you'd like.
I don't know if we need to have a motion to get it on the floor. Is it an action item? I'll entertain a motion to discuss the Alaska Municipal League Alaska Conference of Mayors Winter Legislative Conference travel. How about that? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Morrell to talk about this. Steve?
Our travel budgets, as I mentioned earlier, are tight. So the reason you've not seen this before is we just budgeted for it and went on about our way. That's not the case anymore. We're actually literally putting down, this event, how many people are going. And so in this case, this is an example. I'm not currently budgeted to go. We took that out of there to try to save some money. And I think the assembly has... We budget for two people?
At this time, I think I only put down the one, Mr. Mayor, to go.
With the timing being what it is, we have to make reservations. This is in Juneau, which means things sell out pretty quick. So we kind of need to know from the assembly who's going to go so we can get the reservations done. That's what it amounts to.
Okay. So Member Mucci.
So how much is it going to cost to send people there?
Approximately $1,000 apiece.
Three days. Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci.
So are we saying that no city staff is going other than an assembly member or the mayor?
Through the mayor, that is correct. At this point, I don't believe any staff members are scheduled to go.
There is a Southeast, just for now we're talking about travel, there's a Southeast Conference like a week before this that I do not plan to attend.
Well, you do not?
Yeah. And if you look under the travel budget, we have our board of director, our former mayor, Cindy Logadakis, is still the board member. And so she was scheduled to travel up for that trip. And that's it's handled differently by different communities. But they will send board members, even if they're not elected officials or employees of the borough. So that's, I don't know if that's something we need to address as well, but just throwing it all on the table.
Mr. Mayor. We're
not talking about Southeast Conference. I guess the motion is talking about AML, but we're talking budget. Yeah. Member Mucci.
So what happens up at this AML, Alaska Conference of Mayors Winter Legislation Conference?
That is when we have the chance to lobby our legislators for projects, legislation, or what other issues we have. And the Conference of Mayors is something that has been back in place for, well, I'm thinking probably 8 years now. Mayor Dwyer was instrumental in getting that back, and it's just discussion amongst the mayors about common priorities, and you have resolutions and goals as, you know, the Conference of Mayors that you put forward to the legislators. So I find that kind of an interesting dialogue to be, you know, talking with mayors from Anchorage, Wasilla, you know, the villages, and you get a lot of good information. And sometimes you could actually come to consensus on things and help get legislation drafted. Member Mucci.
So, Mr. Mayor, if there are resolutions that come before the Conference of Mayors, are those resolutions brought back to the community to be decided on how they should vote, or how are those resolutions? What's the deliberation in any kind of resolution that might come out of the Conference of Mayors or the Municipal League?
The Municipal League has their own set of resolutions that the board, I think, if I'm not mistaken, one person from each community votes on them. And did you do that, Brandy, after I left Anchorage? On the resolutions of the AML?
I had to leave before.
Yeah, that's how that's done. In the Conference of Mayors, you just vote amongst the mayors. And it's nothing to do with financial or positions of anything that I would consider detrimental to the communities. Member Strand, you have your hand up?
I'm confused. This paperwork says that Board Member Logadakis is lined up for the Southeast Conference. We're talking about AML, right?
Correct, yeah.
And you're the only person on AML. Could we get some clarification?
I did try to clarify that, but I mentioned that we're talking about budget, so I'd bring up how Cindy Logadakis is still the board member that was appointed in September from Petersburg to the board of Southeast Conference. And that's in, I think, the first week in February or the week before AML.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whatever those dates are, 18th, 14th, something like that. Steve?
We have a slight change. Our chief may be there for the Alaska Police Standards Council board meeting, which will either be the week before or that very same week. So the question about will staff be there, possibly we'll have somebody there.
As far as scheduling for Alaska Municipal League?
He's not scheduled to go to Alaska Municipal League, but he possibly will be in town. I didn't want to be on the record misrepresenting.
Okay, thanks. Any other discussion? And I don't know if we're voting on anything here or not, but I think this is just an information.
Well, I think it was just to find out who wanted to go to AML other right. than you. Right. It was there any other assembly members that wanted to attend?
No, thank you.
Member Morrell.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, and since considering that we're going to go to D.C. and we're trying to save as much money as possible, I think that just sending the mayor is, I mean, that's what I think. I don't think that it's necessary to send another assembly member at this time.
And since we're talking about the trip to AML, and it is the legislative trip, we discussed having it on this agenda of the state priority list, and we didn't, but we're going to have it on the next meeting, and we're going to start coming up with the same discussion that we're going to have later in this meeting about the federal list of priorities to be presented to the state. It'll probably be fairly short due to the fiscal situation up there, but if you don't enter all of your projects in CAPSIS and then go to, if the lobbyist thinks there's need to lobby the legislators, we will, and we'll, I don't know what the priorities will be, but we have a few issues on the table, like Scow Bay and dredging and all on. So, I guess this isn't an action we have to take action on. So if everybody's all right with it, we'll just move on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.